Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
ESPN Upstate presents Straight Up with Sturge with Mark Sturgis. Served up by Smoke on the Water, 1 Augusta Street in beautiful downtown Greenville.
Please
call 844-GSP-ESPN. Interact now. Text 47183 or hit us up at espnupstate.com.
Listen in Greenville at 105.9 FM. Martinburg at 97.1 FM.
Yeah! And now, Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate.
Welcome in, Upstate. It is a Wednesday edition of Straight Up with Sturge. We're live on the air from Smoke on the Water. Coach Josh Phillips sitting to my left. Diesel back at the ESPN Upstate Studios. And we'll take you up to 6:30 tonight when we give way to Major League Baseball. Why, it's the last week of the regular season, and things are coming down the stretch. But we're going to have a whole lot of different things to get into here today. We have three guests coming up this afternoon. That includes, in the next segment, we'll be joined by the Gamecock sideline reporter, our good friend Langston Moore from down in Columbia. At 5:05, we'll go up to North Carolina, Tobacco Road, and we'll be joined by our good friend Brett Freelander. And then at 6:05, we'll get a check-in with the voice of the Clemson Tigers, Don Munson, ahead of this big contest on Saturday night, Josh, in which, hey, professional money being laid on Louisville right now. I'm telling you, Clemson started as a three-point favor, may end up as a three-point dog by the time the weekend gets here, because that professional money is being laid down on Louisville right now. But let's also start with this real quickly. We are aware of what's taking place here in the Upstate today. Another tragic incident with a school and a gun down in Townville at Townville Elementary. This much, Ann Robarbs from our WORD newsroom has just sent me over an update where the shooter, who happens to be a teenager, is in custody. There are no other shooters. The kids were being taken by bus down Highway 24 to Oakview Baptist Church to be picked up by their parents. But Josh, in this day and age of everything that's going on, I'm sorry, a teenager going to an elementary school and choosing to open fire, what in the world is going on? I just, you know, unfortunately for those young children, that kind of traumatic day is going to stay with them a little bit. So, you know, people out there need to get a freaking grip at what's going on here, and I'm sorry. You can protest, you can do everything you want to, but I'll still tell you to your face, this is the greatest country on the face of this earth. People, let's start treating people, each other, with more respect and more dignity. Is that a fair way to go about that, Josh?
Well, I think there are some serious issues. When you talk about going into an elementary school with defenseless children, that's, you know, a protest is between adults, normally, right. You know. That's one thing. And one thing I've always kind of lived my life by is, you know, what two adults do is one thing. I mean, it may be not right or wrong, but, I mean, if you're an adult, you can make a decision on the way you conduct yourself. My thing is the children are innocent, yep, and leave them alone and leave them out of the equation. And obviously this particular individual felt the need to do such a horrendous thing, and quite honestly, I hope he is dealt with as severely as that idiot Dylan Roof.
More because it's a school. There's elementary kids there. There was, again, I just in light of things that are going on as the parent of a 15-year-old, I just get more and more frustrated. And I realize my job and all of our jobs is to instill values in our kids, to teach them the difference between right and wrong, and hope that they go out and act accordingly. But I'm going to keep my mouth shut on what I'd like to see happen to a teenager that goes into an elementary school, because that's not fair. We need to see more details, but I know that doesn't seem like anybody I want playing in my world. You know what I mean? Because
well, I mean, that's why I said they need, he needs, or she, I don't know. If, I'm assuming it's a he. They need to be, if this is the person that carried this act out, then they need to suffer the fate of Dylann Roof.
Yep.
Because you're talking about people that have gone into an innocent situation and taken advantage of people that are trying to help and get better in their own life. One was a church, now this is a school. So they both need to be dealt with severely, and let them deal with the afterlife.
That is it. All right. Some things that we're going to get into today on the show. Josh, of course, college football.
Yep.
Some factors that the next LSU coach, or how about the 25 acknowledged coaching candidates for LSU right now, may want to think about. Right now, it just looks like a blanket being thrown over D1 football. Hey, are you interested? Are you? Because I ain't buying Larry Fedora's the fourth highest odd on the job at LSU. I ain't buying that one lick. But you know what? We'll find out. But there, I guess my point is everybody's wanting to talk about, you know, what is this LSU job? What it is one of the top five jobs in the country, and we'll go through that stuff. Also, got a new little segment for Diesel and Josh today. Diesel, are you ready for this, my friend?
I'm totally ready.
Guess not. All right. It's going to be called NFL Studs and Duds. I've got some guys. I'm going to read the name, allow y'all to declare him a stud or a dud.
Now, you know I don't watch the NFL, Sturge. Why are you going to ask me NFL questions?
Just go opposite Josh.
You're just going to try to make me look stupid?
Is
that make
it?
I do a good enough job of that myself.
Yeah, that's true. That's true as well. But studs and duds we'll get into as well. And then, of course, I'm telling you, Josh, here in this first segment, I got some concerns for the Houston Texans defensive end, J.J. Watt. He is now on injured reserve for at least 8 games. I am hearing from multiple people in Houston he's done for the year, and this could be a really, really bad thing for J.J. Watt, as it is the same disc that he injured this past year. And you know what? Let me ask you this. When we go back, and of course, hindsight being 2020, you and I've had that conversation about some things going on with me. But is it hindsight that we can look at that the NFL put Houston in 12 games in three games in 12 days, that's just not good for anybody, not only at the collegiate level, but also the professional level?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. To play a football game, whether it's Pee Wee, high school, college, to play 3 football games in 12 days is ridiculous for any team to hold up, especially with the physicality that the pro game dictates. So, and you mentioned something about the coaching search. You know, on the way in today, I was listening a little bit of Greg and Diddy were talking about the situation at South Carolina, and I'm at shock that there are actually fans in Columbia now that are calling for Muschamp to be fired after a month. And, you know, it really is sad in this day and age. And I know Nick Saban said this in his press conference the other day after Les Miles was released. You know, and look, Will hasn't achieved the success that Les did at LSU.
That doesn't mean that Les Miles is running to South Carolina.
No, it doesn't. But to be fair to Will, and there was no bigger critic of that hire than me, but to be fair to Will, this team is better than what it was last year. They're recruiting at an elite level in his first year. You've got a true freshman, 18-year-old quarterback that is functioning as well as he possibly can with literally one weapon, and that's Bryan Edwards. That's it. With no offensive line, the defense, it doesn't really have playmakers over there. When you talk about elite playmakers, they're just average. Mm-hmm. And you're 2-2. Yeah, you had a horrendous loss on the road at Kentucky, which shouldn't have happened, but it did. That's football. But to go ahead and try to dismiss Coach Muschamp at this time, I think, is a little bit of a climate, and it parlays into what would Alabama have done had they said after Nick's first year when he went 7-6 and got beat by Louisiana Monroe, okay, it's time to get rid of him. You know, there is a reason that
he was hired.
That you hire a guy to come in, and especially if there are other positives of your program. Now, right. Les, I look at it this way. I am not a fan. I don't care if it's a coordinator or a head coach. I am not a fan of these in-season firings, okay? I believe if you start a season with a guy, you made the decision to hire him, okay? Then you excuse me. Then you live with it, or you make a change within the staff, but you don't fire the guy until the end of the year. So, you know, there's a lot of things that I'm going to be interested to see, and that's one thing I disagree with you on. I do not think LSU is a top five job. Well, I think it's a top 10 job.
Yeah, but they got one thing that nobody else has, and that's the state of Louisiana, which is a good
high school
football state.
Oh, it's a phenomenal football state.
They don't have to deal. Tulane doesn't factor into LSU.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. They're set up in a scenario where it's LSU or nothing.
Right.
You look at the Alabamas, the Auburns, the Georgias, the Floridas, the Michigans, maybe, I guess Ohio State with Cincinnati, you know, but it's nice when you don't have to go compete
with
in-state recruiting, and they get a ton of talent. So that's why I say there's some variables there that other
states there's some built-in advantages, yes. There's definitely some built-in advantages. And even when Coach Muschamp got the job, I said if he was listening to the show, the first place he needs to go after he rebuilds a relationship within the state of South Carolina with the high school coaches, which he's doing. And that's a good thing to see. It's good to see the head coach of whether it's Clemson or South Carolina on the sidelines on Friday nights at these high school games. That's a good thing to see. But the second stop, I said, is he needs to make inroads in Louisiana. I don't think there's enough recruiting that goes on. People want to know why the Memphises, the Houstons, the Louisiana Monroes, when they had a decent program, the reason those guys get good so fast is there is a lot of talent that gets left out in the state of Louisiana, and it's untapped, really, because everybody flocks to Georgia, Florida, Texas, Ohio, and then there's little Louisiana down there, and you think, well, it's not that, but there is. There are talented players. Reminds me a lot of South Georgia when we recruited down there a lot, a ton of players. Below Macon, down through Georgia.
All right, again, we're going to have Langston Moore, the Gamecock sideline reporter, here with us in the next segment, but we got a couple of things to remind you of. Don't forget Friday. It's a Crown Royal Friday. We'll be at Major's Discount in Anderson. We will have our guest picker. We will also have Game Day's DJ Jill Strange going to come join us live at 5:30. A few other things as well, which includes giving away two tickets to Clemson Louisville. You might, unless you want to go write your child's tuition check, if you will, for some tickets, this may be the best way to land a couple of tickets to that Clemson Louisville game Sunday night. Those things are through the roof. So make sure you come join us at Major's Discount for Crown Royal Friday. Also, Pro Pigskin Pick'em Contest this week. Over $400 up for grab. And there is a Thursday night game with Miami at Cincinnati. So you want to go ahead and make sure your games are in before kickoff tomorrow night. Of course, if you don't get that pick in, it only costs you one game. But anyway, make sure you click on the link for our Pro Pick'em Contest there at ESPNUpstate.com. All right, Langston Moore, Gamecock sideline reporter, children's author. When we come back, it's Straight Up with Sturge. We're live on the ground at Smoke on the Water, and of course, always live on ESPN Upstate.
Sports talk for Upstate South Carolina.
You're getting the straight scoop.
Greenville, 105.9 FM and 1330 AM.
Spartanburg,
97.1 FM and 950 AM. On Straight Up with Sturge.
Mark Sturgis.
ESPN Upstate.
All right, welcome back in here on this Wednesday edition. We're going to go to the guest line for the first time today, bring in our good friend Langston Moore, always a Gamecock, also an NFL lineman with the Bengals, the Lions, the Cardinals. He's also a children's book author, but first thing we're going to talk about is his job as the Gamecock sideline reporter. Langston, it was great to see you Saturday night up in Lexington.
Yeah, it was great seeing you, too. I wish the circumstances would have ended up a little bit better. But, you know, all in all, man, it was a safe trip and everybody made it back.
That is correct. So let's talk right now. You know, obviously Coach Muschamp a little bit frustrated after the game and the fact that, you know, a lot of people said, hey, man, it's a game you could win. And it was close. But you know what? I said this yesterday. I may be wrong. I didn't play football. I felt like South Carolina with a young team on Saturday night looked a little bit tired. Why? Because it wasn't cool to be delivered three road games in the Southeastern Conference in the first month of the season.
Well, yeah, it was a possibility. I think maybe a little bit emotionally draining for a younger team. But, you know, seeing that and going – you know, anybody knows when you go on the road, that's probably the biggest test of, you know, your team and what they can do, because you don't have the backing of the fan base to kind of energize you when things are down. You don't have the familiarity of just being, you know, sleeping in your own bed or being in your familiar surroundings. So, again, following along the lines of Coach Muschamp and the rest of these folks, he's not making excuses, but it's just something one of these, this young team is going to have to kind of, you know, get accustomed to, you know, as far as being in the SEC and being just top tier football contention, is that you have to go on the road and battle whatever. You know, the schedule is the schedule. Who we have is who we have. And, you know, it's one of those deals, no excuses. You got to go out there and make plays. If you're tired, if you're emotionally down, if you're a little dinged up, so is everybody else. The question is, can you respond and go out there and do it? And on Saturday night, that didn't, we didn't take a chance at those opportunities when we had an opportunity to do that.
We're talking with Langston Moore, Gamecock sideline reporter. We'll give you an update on his writing career here in a minute, and you can follow him, of course, on Twitter, Remove the Chains. But, Langston, what's the goal for Saturday night? South Carolina comes home for five straight. They're a big dog to Texas A&M, who may or may not be able to get up. You know, that's a big game they played with Arkansas in Jerry World this past week. Is this something where we need Saturday night, due to Texas A&M's propensity to move so fast? Just take a look back at the season opener a few years ago, that the offense needs to try to work within the defense a little bit, keep them off the field, and, you know, every got to move the chains at least once a drive to make sure those guys are getting a little rest, because one thing we know about Kevin Sumlin's offense, they can move it fast.
You're absolutely right, and I think that's one of the biggest points. It's going to be really limiting what Texas A&M can do. We saw it last year when we played them down there. We had a little chance to score bat for bat going into halftime. We were tied, and you know, it was a matter of turnovers towards the end when we had a chance to try to come back, and they obviously got a turnover, but also turned it into points. So one of the big things for us offensively is going to make sure we control time of possession, really limit their play. 2 years ago when Texas A&M came into the conference and played us here, opening the season, they had a huge amount of plays, a lot of volume with that. They had a lot of success with that volume. So I think if we're able to limit plays, and then again, once they get the ball back, Texas A&M's offense, eliminate their big plays, maybe they can get a little frustrated. Maybe they can do some things that'll be a little bit out of character. Because, again, to them, especially from Kevin Sumlin, if you know him, an offensive-minded guy like that, reminds kind of a Danny Green. They feel like they can score at will at all times. So just last week against Arkansas, they were backed up and they were chucking the ball down the field, and they had some success. You know, obviously had a big play to Reynolds, their wide receiver, is also a guy who had a lot of success against us last year down at Texas A&M at College Station. So I think that's one of the big deals for us, is making sure we limit that, and we can do that with our running game, making sure we convert those third downs, just like you said, keep the chains moving, and really put the pressure on them to perform, and hopefully our crowd can help us. And our defense will be energized, hopefully, and be able to figure out a way to get some turnovers and hopefully make them do some things that they haven't been accustomed to doing these first four games.
Langston, this is Josh Phillips. Thanks for joining the show with us today. A couple of points. The one thing I've been really impressed with early on, even though South Carolina, from a depth standpoint, isn't as deep as what the Gamecocks have been in the past, defensively, I've been very impressed with what Coach Muschamp and Coach Thompson and Robertson and all those guys have been able to do from what we saw last year. I mean, even through four ball games, nobody scored over 30 points on this Gamecock defense yet, not even Mississippi State. I thought the red zone defense has been just lights out. The coverage, I haven't seen many blown coverages throughout the year in the first four ball games. This defense has kept this team in every single ball game. The question that I have is on the offensive side of the ball. When I look at South Carolina, and had you told me before the year that they would only have scored 20 points once in the first four games, and that would be against East Carolina, I thought they would have scored, and I'm sure everybody did, that they'd hit at least 30 on Kentucky. When I look at South Carolina, it seems that they're having trouble along the offensive line initially, and then the wide receivers not being able to get any separation for Brandon McWane or Perry Orth early on to get the ball to. With you on the sideline, what are you seeing at the line of scrimmage that the Gamecocks could possibly do better along that offensive front?
Well, specifically with the offensive line, one of the biggest things we can do is just really get that run game going. You know, we came in to this season with a lot of guys who've been in under Sean Elliott for the last few years, have been in the program, who've gone through an amazing offseason with the strength staff and changing their bodies. You know, a lot of these guys, DJ Park, Malik Young, a lot of guys had that gut, a typical lineman gut, but, you know, that's not very conducive when you're playing a lot of reps or playing a lot of players like a lot of offense like to be accustomed to with these nowadays. So, you know, with all that being said, I think the biggest thing is these guys having continuity, putting one play together after the next. I know it sounds kind of simple and trite, but, yeah. You know, playing offensive line is unlike playing defensive line. Defensive line, you could be the best player on a four-man line and completely have a great game. But on the offensive line, it has to be all five guys working together. And, you know, it's just how football works. If it's the one guy not doing his job or maybe possibly has his person beat him across the front of him, it always shows up. And that's what we've been having some problems with. So, of course, Sean Elliott is the guy who preaches consistency and all these guys want to get it right. It's just a matter of making sure all that stuff, you know, happens, play in and play out. And hopefully, again, playing at home can help us a lot doing that. We have been dinged up a little bit in certain spots. Obviously, we lost Donnell Staley and a couple other guys, Camper. Even though some of those, Camper was more of a guy who would be the first person in, it was a sub situation, you know, having certain continuity and those things, we all know as offensive linemen, you like to see the same five guys starting all the time. But we've been moving guys around a little bit and still trying to figure out the right mixture of guys. But all in all, we still have talent. We still have some things that can really have a chance to make our run game go. You know, our protection's been good at points. And, you know, all in all, Brandon has done a good job of protecting the ball as far as not throwing interceptions and doing those things. You know, really the only turnover we had was being chased down from the backside in Vanderbilt and getting banged from one of those linemen. And obviously, if you're a high school kid, you don't expect a 300-pound guy to run you down to hit you coming back from inside, from the outside in. So I think all in all, it continues to be a learning experience for everybody. Coming into this season, Mason Zandi was the most experienced player that we had returning on offense. And again, if you know his story, he was a two-star guy that just basically made himself to be what he is now, to being the starter the last few years. That's great. But, you know, in the SEC, you know, it's not about stories. It's about talent and combining all that talent together. Hopefully, again, playing at home can give us a little bit more continuity on the offensive line. And, again, as you know, this is a line of scrimmage league. Everybody talks about it. The stronger you are up front, the better. And hopefully Saturday playing at home can help us with that.
All right, Langston, besides being a former Gamecock player, besides being in the NFL and now the sideline reporter, and, of course, people can hear that ball game, 7:30 on Saturday night, Todd Ellis on the call, Tommy Suggs on color, you down on the sideline. But you know what? You've also found another niche in life, and that is becoming an author. And I want to, you know, your book that you put out, hashtag Just a Chicken, it is about the coming of age of cocky in the barnyard. Doesn't matter if you're a South Carolina fan or not. It is a positive outlook book. And number, you know, tell our listeners how they can get that book, how it came about, and is there a second one coming down the line?
Well, absolutely, there's a second one coming down the line. I can't – my partner and I, Preston Thorne, who also was a captain here at South Carolina and is a phenomenal teacher here and a coach at Blythewood High School, Teacher of the Year down here in Columbia. We've been working together for the last few years, just working out these projects and figuring out in between watching a lot of football how to be kind of authors and what that looks like. You know, we were able to connect with a guy named Kevin Roche who works for ESPN, who actually lives right here in Columbia. He's a phenomenal artist. If you watch any stuff on ESPN, you'll see all his work up there, especially on Baseball Tonight on Sundays and some of the Stan Van Pelt stuff. But it's just been a cool little experience, you know, kind of giving kids our take on, you know, what it takes to be successful. And you know, being successful in one vocation is a lot like in any other vocation. So we tell kids, you know, if you're successful on the football field, regardless if you had interest in doing other things like us trying to be writers or whatever it is we thought we could do with ourselves, if we apply the same passion and willingness to get reps and learn from different folks and have mentors, you can go out there and do anything. And that's really been our key when we go around and talk to these kids and give them our stories when we present the businesses and schools about, you know, being not just a chicken, but being more than that. So it's funny because when we were trying to come out with this book, people used to say, oh, you guys are just football players. What do you know about being authors? And, of course, that's kind of the cool little story we tell kids now. You know, we used to get all this flack about not playing football because, you know, we're from this side of town or this part of the state. But now that conversation shifted from you guys are football players. What do you know about writing books? So, again, it's just about limits and not limiting yourself and making sure you always have that positive self-talk and, again, making sure your Cooper's strong, right?
That is right, man. And listen, we appreciate you taking time with us today. Again, it was great to see you on Saturday night. We'll catch up down the line. And again, I will do this about the book as well, because I will tell my listeners, I have sat down and read it. I've sat down and read it with my child. And you know what? It is a message that can be left on everybody. Thank you, Langston. Always appreciate your time.
I appreciate you guys. And look out for that goodie package, man. I appreciate all the support, you guys.
All right. Thank you much. There's Langston Moore, Gamecock sideline reporter. Always appreciate his time. You can just go to his Twitter page, remove the chains, and guess what? You are going to see some stuff. And again, it doesn't matter. Even if you're a Clemson fan, this is a positive message in this book that can make a huge difference. And trust me, we better be delivering those messages to our kids right now. All right, when we come back, let's talk some college football. We'll take your phone calls. And, of course, at 5:05, we'll be joined by Brett Freelander from Tobacco Road, actually playing some pretty daggum good football up there as well. This is Straight Up with Sturge. Coach Josh Phillips and I live from Smoke on the Water. Get in with us.
This is Straight Up with Sturge on the Upstate's new home for the worldwide leader in sports. ESPN Upstate.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM. Spartanburg. 97.1 FM and 950 AM. This is Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate.
All right. We got to make a correction here, and I apologize. That game for South Carolina and Texas A&M is at 4 o'clock on Saturday. Now, let me tell you why I screwed that up. Sunday night, when I was getting prepared for some stuff, I go to Gamecocks Online, and guess what? They had it listed with the SEC logo at 7:30. So my mistake. Thank y'all for the corrections on that. 4 p.m. kickoff. I probably should have gone back and checked on Monday as well. But hey, this is a week that you just try to make it through.
Hey, and just know, I mean, I applaud our audience for paying attention.
Thank you very much. That's
the details right there that people pay attention to. That's good.
I want people showing up for kickoff at 7:30 and see people walking out of the cockabooses and down the roundabouts up to the upper deck going, Sturgis, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, if you've had enough beers, I'm sure it's happened before.
All right. Hey, Josh, real quickly, want to ask you this because – some of my buddies from Knoxville have hit me up the last couple of days asking, dude, everybody's name is coming up from Bobby Petrino to Jimbo Fisher to Tom Herman to Larry Fedora to, you know, Urban Meyer, Nick Saban going to be reached out to. Somebody was trying to float out on Twitter yesterday that they spotted a plane with LSU markings in Morgantown, West Virginia. Listen, none of these people know anything.
If you can't
right
win
now,
at
okay?
West Virginia, why would they hire him in Baton Rouge?
Well, anyway, point being, nobody knows anything right now. But I got multiple questions. Well, so they don't think very highly of Dabo Swinney in Baton Rouge because nobody's mentioning him. No, Everybody realizes they can't come pill away Dabo Swinney right now. He'll owe more money to Clemson University than you could shake a stick at. So why go put it? Why go try to approach somebody that can't leave? You know what I mean? So I don't think it's an indictment on Dabo Swinney and the way anybody feels about him. I just think it's Clemson did a very good job of locking him up, and now as this contract goes down, his buyout goes down. And I think there's one place Dabo Swinney somewhere down the line might leave Clemson for, and it's not Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Well, it's going to depend on money.
But he doesn't need it.
No, he doesn't. But if LSU says we will pay the buyout and we're going to give you $7 million.
I don't think he leaves for LSU.
He will be gone faster than a grease pig running downhill.
He knows what he's got coming up here. But the deal is,
It's not a knock. That's not a knock. I mean, if somebody's going to pay you a premium, okay, then you take it. I mean, that's not a knock on Clemson or Dabo. I mean, if somebody's going to come off the hip, I mean, look what Michigan did with Jim Harbaugh.
Yep.
He hadn't won anything in college.
Second most money in college football.
He's making $7 million. So he left San Francisco on a golden carpet. Goodbye. No hard feelings. They wanted him gone. He decided to leave. He could have got another job making $4 or $5 million. But Michigan said, hey, you know what? We're going to pay you a premium. Come back home. We think that you can be the replacement of Coach Saban and win 4 or 5 national championships here at Michigan. So, you know, one thing about coaching is that if the money is right, these guys are going to move. And that's just the way it is. Now, the question is going to be is whether LSU is going to pay that type of money or not. I don't think they're going to. Now, it makes more sense. I don't think Petrino's leaving Louisville. I don't think some of these other coaches are going. I'm going to be fascinated, and I said this 2 weeks ago, I'm going to be fascinated to see what happens with Tom Herman, because the biggest gripe that people in Baton Rouge are having right now and at LSU is that the offense has been so steady. Mm-hmm. I think it's fascinating that Ed Orgeron was the one that exited Cam Cameron, which I didn't initially know, but then found out later. Les Miles had already been dismissed, and, of course, they had already tabbed Ed Orgeron as the interim head football coach, and then Ed dismissed Cam Cameron. So whenever that happens, there's some behind-the-scenes things that have happened with those two of why he's gone. But I'm going to be fascinated to see where they go. People need to forget about Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin's not a head football coach. He's
at
doing a great job. He's not a head coach nowhere.
I think Fresno State, where he's an alumnus trying to rebuild his image as a head coach. I agree with you. He's better off calling offensive plays, but he will get a call
smart,
at some point.
If he's smart, he will stay right where he's at and continue to learn and continue to develop. I mean, he did a great job recruiting at UT, but ran it in the ground. Then he goes to Southern Cal, okay? Those are two of the best jobs that you could ever want, and he flopped. So why in the world, if I'm an athletic director and I'm looking at a guy that I want to bring in as my head football coach, and I look at his resume, and I look at the fact that he's been at the University of Tennessee and Southern Cal with all of the advantages that both of those programs had, the unlimited money, unlimited facilities, unlimited recruiting. There is no excuse for him not to win at UT and Southern Cal, and he got fired for losing. I'm not hiring that guy. He can't win.
Right.
So I think that's going to be something to be fascinating to watch. If LSU goes off the radar, I thought it was an interesting point that I heard. So I can't remember who said they better be careful with this hire because it wasn't that long ago you had a guy by the name of Jerry DiNardo walking the sideline. You had some other guys down there walking the sideline, you know, that wasn't exactly putting LSU on the map.
That's
and look, the truth of the matter is what got Les Miles fired was Nick Saban. Okay.
Oh yeah.
And the reason I say that, it's not what Nick has done at Alabama.
It's how he adjusted.
What got Les fired at LSU was the fact that Saban was so successful at LSU, and he had to follow that. And, yes, he did great initially by winning the national championship, by winning the SEC, and those are not easy things to do. But at the same point, you do have to evolve, and he failed to do it. But It cost him. All right. He got a $10 million walk away.
By the way, Sturge, as you are such a gigantic fan of the Daniel Tosh bit of Kiffin's Crimson Corner, there was another brand new episode of that last night, so you might want to go check that out on ComedyCentral.com. But I want to ask this question, and maybe we need to hold it off until we come back on the other side. But where do you think Les Miles goes after this?
All right, let's talk about that, because I tell you, I wouldn't be surprised to see a trade, and we'll tell y'all that when we come back, because I think Tom Herman's future at Houston is now directly to Oklahoma State donor T. Boone Pickens, and we'll tell you about that when we come back. It's Straight Up with Sturge, is live on ESPN Upstate.
From Clemson to Carolina. If it's sports, we're talking about it.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM. Spartanburg. 97.1 FM and 950 AM. Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate.
All right, welcome back in. Diesel has a thought on all of this, and he patiently waited through the break. So before we go to Delvin on the phone, Diesel, what you got, bud?
Oh, I was asking you the question. I wasn't saying I had a particular thought. We've talked many times so far in the last few weeks about, you know, coaches who might be on the hot seat. I'm saying, where do you think Les Miles could go and would go?
I think it's going to be a trade, and this is what I mean. The Big 12, T. Boone Pickens, the biggest investor, if you will, in any university in the country. He has his name on Oklahoma State Stadium. He is after Dave Bourne, the president of Oklahoma, to retire. Why? Because they went through all this garbage about expanding the conference, and it doesn't sound like that's going to happen. So if Houston doesn't get a bid to the Big 12, Houston will remain a non-Power 5 team. That's when Tom Herman leaves. Don't be surprised if Les Miles goes down the interstate and takes that Houston job. That's what I mean. There may be a trade in all this. Maybe a couple other spots. How about an NC State where Dave Bourne has struggled, and or Kentucky with Mark Stoops?
How great would that be to have a Les Miles in the ACC? Yeah.
But the reality of it is Les said he doesn't hunt, he doesn't fish, he doesn't play golf, and he doesn't play tennis. So guess what? He's either going to be in the media or coaching, and if it's coaching, it's going to be a step down from LSU. There's no other way around it. All right, let's go to the phones. Delvin wants to talk about Les Miles. Delvin, welcome in. Hope you're having a good day.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Hump day.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. There's going to be some schools calling, like you said, like an NC State or – like you said, a Kentucky. But the thing about it is, Les Miles got to be willing to make some sacrifices and change, because he can't bring that 3 yards in a client does offense to those schools, because most of those schools we talked about run spread offense. So he's going to have to change up and get with the times. That's what got him fired at LSU. He was stubborn to a fault and caused him a job. This reminds me of when Dabo fired Rod Spence. Remember that? When he was named intern coach? Y'all talking about that? Dabo had fired Rod Spence. That's what probably Ed Orgeron did with Cam Cameron.
Well, listen, they also want to, this is an 8-game audition. Don't forget, if Orgeron goes 7-1 or 8-0, he may end up just getting the job. So, everybody's speculating over anything. It is not time to track airplanes on the internet like they love to do during these coaching searches, because these coaches aren't talking to anyone. The only person being talked to maybe are representative or agents. Nothing more, nothing less. No coach in his right mind is going to speak to anybody in an official capacity on September 28th.
Yeah, I agree with you about that, but it's going to be interesting. I mean, I think you got the Florida International job out there. You got the LSU job. It's going to be interesting. Small jobs come open. Some of these names get mentioned. Well, like you said, I think Les Miles will be coaching this year. He's just going to, like you said, be part at either ACC school or something else like that.
Yeah. Well, listen, he says he wants to coach. He's young and how successful he is. First of all, I think it's just shameful that, being dropped at this time of the year. But, Josh, I honestly feel like they may have waited till longer in the year if Ed Orgeron just had not gone through this entire deal with Southern Cal as interim head coach. That's one place he has a little bit of experience.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see, like I said, how it's going to play out. Especially with the way the Big 12 is doing expansion. So, and it, again, it seems that the biggest cry coming out of the Bayou is, We want a more dynamic, up-tempo, fast-paced offense. We're tired of seeing Leonard Fournette carry the ball 30 times a ball game. And that's what they're going to have to decide, you know, moving forward. Because the recruiting, if you work at it, the recruiting will take care of itself. And they did that. So players aren't going to be a problem. I didn't think LSU utilized Malachi Dupree the way they should have. That guy's going to go in the first round of the NFL draft. Their offensive line is as good as any out there. I thought bringing in Dave Aranda was a phenomenal get on the defensive side of the football, and their defense has played lights out, much better than what they have in the past. It's just when you're only scoring 15 points a game in the modern era of college football, where you better average 35 to 40 points a game, you better be winning. And you can't score 15 points and lose 18 to 15. Yep. You better win 15 to 12.
Well, let me tell you somebody else to pay attention to as far as possibly on the move. And it may be Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State. Because T. Boone Pickens runs everything there at Oklahoma State. Biggest?
As he should. All the buildings have his name on it.
When asked about his relationship with Mike Gundy, T. Boone Pickens said yesterday, it's never been rosy. And listen, he's not only the biggest donor at Oklahoma State, he's the biggest donor in the Big 12 Conference yet. He and his coach don't speak. Quote, I don't know, but Mike Gundy doesn't handle people relationships very well, Pickens said. And he gets mad about everything. I've heard he's written some notes about me that weren't very complimentary. That doesn't sound like a relationship that an athletic director wants to navigate those waters with, because what does the athletic director need even more than Mike Gundy as head coach?
Money.
Money. Money. Listen, money's kind of like air. You got to have air to live, but you know what? You need some money to live as well. So T. Boone Pickens may control a lot of those things, but I thought that was very, very noteworthy when we picked that, when I picked that up last night, that he's just saying he's angry about everything. He doesn't handle people relationships well. And listen, you could tell from the tone in his voice, he ain't happy from hearing from some friends that some very uncomplimentary things have been written about him by Oklahoma State's head coach. So watch for that. I don't think LSU would go to the well, so to speak, twice in 11 years and hiring an Oklahoma State coach, because guess what? They hired Les Miles away from there. But
his offense was more dynamic there than it was at LSU. They ran a spread, fast-paced, up-tempo offense when he was at Okie State, and then he morphed into the two tight end system at LSU. So I think had he gone back to that, he'd probably still have his job. But don't worry, Auburn will be open soon, too.
Yeah, so. no worries about that. All right, when we come back, we are going to talk with our good friend Brett Freelander up in North Carolina. Don't look now, but the Fighting Dave Clawsons are 4-0. Duke finding their way now with their backup quarterback going to Notre Dame last week and winning 38-35. And listen, North Carolina could set Florida State on their ear this week down in Tallahassee if they were somehow to go down there and win the game. And let me tell you, Mitch Trubisky right now at this point may be playing about the best football as a quarterback in the country, not named Lamar Jackson right now. So I think there's a shooter's chance, if you will, that North Carolina can go down there and handle it. But a lot of big games and a lot of big things going on Tobacco Road, which what does that mean? Dave Dorn, you better watch out. You better watch out, because if Wake Forest is getting better, your NC State brethren aren't going to put up with this. So we will go up to Tobacco Road, Brett Freelander. He'll join us when we return. As again, we're live here at Smoke on the Water on ESPN Upstate. Don't forget, 6:05, Don Munson, the voice of the Clemson Tigers. And we're out of here at 6:30 for Major League Baseball. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.